Merry Christmas! And I think I just saw the most festive sweater I've seen Aaron Ludwig wearing earlier with the lights, so he might have Josh beat here. So, listen, you know, all of us were created for a purpose. Every person in this room, every person on this earth was created for a specific purpose that God had in mind. And this holiday today is the beginning of that purpose that God had for mankind. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Son of God to represent God's character to mankind, to show mankind God's unfailing love for us, His reckless, never-ending, unconditional love that He has for each person on this earth. Jesus was put on this earth with the greatest plan and purpose that anyone will ever have. And He fulfilled the commission that His Father in heaven had for Him. There are two major events, life-changing world events that cannot be denied: the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. My faith in Jesus is rooted in those two things. And those in America are the two biggest holidays that we celebrate. Jesus was born of a virgin, came to this earth, revealed to mankind who God is. Many people accepted Him, many people rejected Him. Those who rejected Him had Him nailed to a cross. They thought His ministry was finished. They thought they got rid of the message He was preaching. He was buried, put in a tomb, and 3 days later He rose. And hundreds of people had witnessed this. He taught His disciples what to do after He ascends into heaven. They witnessed Him ascend into heaven. Can you imagine watching Him ascend to heaven? Watching, until He disappears. There is biblical, there is historical, there is archaeological evidence of all of these accounts. And they cannot be denied. We can deny them for so long, we can even deny them for our entire life. But sooner or later, we will be faced with the fact that Jesus came to this earth in a miraculous way. And here's another thing about these two holidays. Isn't it interesting? Regardless of whether or not you're a believer in Jesus, most people, if not all people, realize that Christmas and Easter are founded in the faith of Jesus, the birth and the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. Whether that's why they celebrate those holidays or not, we understand what the underlying reason is that we celebrate those days. But see, we all go through life and we have these random events that happen, and some are significant and big and some are not so big. Some throw us way off the course that we were planning on doing with our lives, and some just kind of are little hiccups. But when things like that happen to us, you know, as human beings, we have this innate desire to want to know the meaning and the purpose for why this is happening, right? Something happens and we got to know, what is the purpose behind this? Why am I going through this? It helps us to find the significance. And for some, if it's a traumatic event, it gives us the drive to at least get through it. It helps us to focus on why this is happening instead of what just happened. Sometimes that will get you through a situation. In other words, we got to have answers, right? I want to know why I'm going through this. I want to know why this event just happened in my life. Because having an explanation, helps us connect the dots to a specific event, and it helps us to understand the why. Why is this happening? You see, sometimes God drops directly into our lives and gives us just enough glimpse to see that He is working in the midst of this event. He's in it the whole time. And He's helping to create the answer to the why. See, the Christmas story is a reminder that the desire within us that wants to connect the dots cannot be ignored. The world isn't as random as we think. Things don't just happen out of nowhere. There really is a story. There's a story that is unfolding in each of our lives right now. There's a reason why some of you are here today. There's a reason why something happened last week. There's a reason why you ran into somebody you haven't seen in years. There are stories that are unfolding and events that are happening in our lives. And these stories, I believe, if we look for it, we will find that there is a divinely inspired purpose. And the dots are being connected in a way that gives meaning to our existence. So what I want to do this morning is we're going to read a part of the Christmas story. We're going to read a passage from the book of Luke, chapter 1. And this is where God shows up in human history. And the world was never the same. So Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Just as a side note here, if this ever happened to any of you, would you not just freak out a little bit? You know, I love the part where it says, "And she considered the manner of this greeting." I'm not sure how he showed up. I don't know if he just came through the roof, walked through the wall, knocked on the door. But it was Gabriel, one of the highest leveled angels out there, bringing the message that God was sending his son to this earth. And he was going to do it through a lady who had never been with a man. And the other lady, Elizabeth, that was, she had bore a son, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. And he paved the way for Jesus. He preached a message of repentance, kind of got people ready for what was to come. So that's what that part was all about. But you see, When we look at the details of our lives, we may not see God's hand in the midst of certain events. We might not see it. But understand this. Life is not random. God has a plan and a purpose for everything that we are going through. His plan is that all of mankind gets to know him. And he chooses to use people to get that plan out there. God wants everybody to know how much he cares for us, how much he loves us. And just like when Jesus walked the earth, some will reject him and some will accept him. Mary doesn't hear from the angel again, and the next thing she knows, it's true, she's pregnant. So Mary wasn't very old either. She was a teenager at the time. So again, you know, when God stirs things up, some of it's a little wacky. So Mary's engaged to get married, right? Joseph struggling with this. People are beginning to stare at her. Probably telling Joseph, hey, run. I think you got a little problem on your hands. You know, Joseph took a lot of criticism too, I'm sure. But he believed Mary, and he stayed true to her. Can you also imagine Mary walking around telling everybody, well, an angel, Gabriel, came to visit me and said that I am the highly favored one of the Lord, and that I will bear a son, and he shall be the Son of God. Are you kidding me? I'm kind of glad that I wasn't alive back then, because I probably would be in the skeptical crowd. Like, serious? Serious. Joe, you got problems. But you see, Joseph and Mary, regardless of what everybody was saying, they stayed true to each other and the plans that they knew God had for them. It's very easy for us to think that God has a plan for us, and we hear God's plan, and then somebody says something that kind of maybe hurts our feelings or whatever, and it's like, well, who are you to be able to do this? And we're like, well, maybe I am not. And so we give it up. Don't think Joseph and Mary didn't struggle with this. I'm sure they did. But they stayed true to each other and the plans they knew God had for them. They became a part of this divine story, and they watched it unfold together. Their faith was in God, and that's all that mattered to them. You see, perfect faith is not faith that moves God. Right? We feel that we get caught up in this, God, I really need you to move on my behalf. I need this, I need that. Please, where are you? Come on, God. And when we don't see God moving the way we want him to move, we start questioning our faith. Maybe I'm not reading the Bible. Maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe I'm not saying the right words. Maybe I'm not highly favored. Maybe God doesn't want to answer my prayers. Perfect faith doesn't get God to move on our behalf. Perfect faith trusts in God no matter what is happening. Perfect faith is faith that trusts that God is moving on our behalf, even though we don't see it in the midst of the event that's unfolding. Perfect faith is to respond to what seems to be random events of life as if they are a part of the perfect plan God has for us. When we see that God is moving, we respond to that. We trust and we know, God, I don't see you, but I trust you have a plan for what I'm going through. I trust you see the end result of this event, and I trust that you have my best interests in mind. I trust in you, God. I trust in you, Jesus. That's the kind of faith that moves mountains. That's the kind of faith that gets us through hard times. That's the kind of faith that got Joseph and Mary to ignore all the ridicule and naysayers that were around them and to move in this plan that God had and to watch the greatest story of mankind unfold. Amen? I love Christmas. I love the season. I love the miracles that we can meditate on that are in the Bible. You know, if we look for God in the midst of the events of our lives, we will see him. We will find him. You know, the Bible refers to his voice as a still small whisper. But if we refuse to see God in the midst of our events, guess what? We won't see him. We will focus on the event, and it will get bigger and bigger and bigger as God gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Mary understood this, and she made it personal when her response to the angel was, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." You don't think Mary had plans? She was planning a wedding. Ladies, you dream of the day you get married, right? That wedding day is a big event. You don't want anything to mess with it, not even your fiance. We know, just roll with it. When I meet with young couples and they're getting married, I always tell the guy, just, this is her day, man. You roll with whatever it is. Make it happen. Mary had plans in life. She was getting married. Everything was messed up. This messed with her plans. But she said, you know what? God has spoken, and I will become a part of this. You know, if she said no and rejected it and said absolutely not, God would have found somebody. But Mary said, I accept the mission you called me to do, Lord. You know, isn't it funny that we always want to know the end result of something? Somebody asks us to do something. What is our response? Well, what does it entail? You know, what we mean is, what am I getting myself involved in, and what is the end result going to be? Because I got plans. I need to know from beginning to end what I'm getting into. As a believer in Jesus, I have come to the terms that I don't get to always know the end result. But if I move with God, that's where the adventure begins. If I say, I'm with you, Lord, I see what you're doing, I'm with you. I don't need to know the end result because I know that God has my best interests in mind. Every plan that he has is already set into place. He's the creator of the universe, the creator of everything we see, hear, and touch, everything around us. He doesn't need to give us all the answers right away. He can do what he wants. I trust him. It's a perfect creation. Here's the other thing. God never interrupts his plans, but he will interrupt ours. He will definitely interrupt our plans. But that's what makes faith in Jesus an adventure. We can choose to get on board with it. We can say, I'm in. We talk to a friend, talk to our spouse. Hey, I feel like God wants us to do this, or maybe get involved in this ministry, or, you know, whatever it is. And we seek somebody we respect, our spouse, a friend, a pastor, and we get that confirmation. Then we roll with it. Take the next step and see what God has for you next. Here's the deal. If we are able to see it all as coming from God, then we are able to respond in a way that allows God to create purpose out of what seems to be random events. If you seek him, you will find him. Amen? So in closing, may our response to life's events be like Mary's. let it be according to your will. Here I am, God. Let it be according to your word. Because we were all created to look for the purpose in life. The reason we're always looking for the meaning and the significance of something is because we're created for that. That's in our spirits. That's in our being. But if we don't search God out in the midst, we will not become a part of his plan. He wants to use us. He wants to have a friendship with us. If we look for him, we will find him. And so what I want to encourage you is today, this Christmas season, I do this every Christmas season and every Easter, you know, about a month or so out. I meditate on certain aspects of these events and just think about them. Put yourself in that story. What would you have done if you were Mary? What would you have done if you were Joseph? What would you have done if you were one of the shepherds when the angels appeared? What would you have done if you were a part of that plan? And know that God is a God of miracles. And he reached into mankind's world in a miraculous way to explain to us how much he cares for us. There's a story taking place in every one of our lives right now. And it is a divine story that we can become a part of as it unfolds, if we so choose. It's up to us. If we want to participate in God's plan, we can say, let it be according to your word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I just thank you so much. I thank you, God, that you chose to use people for your plan for mankind. You knew, Jesus, what it was going to mean to step out of eternity, come to this earth as a human baby, and walk amongst mankind to share the love that God has for us. It's the greatest story ever told. Some accept it, some reject it, but it is undeniable that it happened. And I thank you for that, God. As we move into a time of worship, we sing some songs, I just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would move amongst us. That some of us here today will receive the greatest gift we could ever receive. I ask that you would bless the remainder of this service. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so at this time, we'll have our ushers come forward, and we'll take our offering. Well, as we were singing those songs, I just felt like the Lord wanted some people to know that he loves you. If you're here today and you were listening to that message and, you know, that's nice. Great. I love hearing about a divine story. I love hearing about looking for God in the events, but God's not in my life. I don't feel loved. I'm all isolated. If that's you, Jesus wants you to know where you are at, that he loves you, he cares for you, and he sees the pain that you're in. Amen? Please accept that. And the other thing is, can't talk about the greatest story ever told. We're in the season of gift giving without offering a chance to receive the greatest gift that somebody could receive. And that is a newfound faith in Jesus. You know, we may think that we have a purpose in life, but we don't have a clue what purpose in life means if we're not holding on to the faith and to the strength and to the wisdom and to all the things that Jesus offers us. There hasn't been one day in my walk as I became a believer in Jesus that I have felt lost or lonely or stumbling or any of that. Because there's a purpose and a plan for every day of my life that He has laid out for me. And I trust Him in that. There is security in the trust that we can have in Jesus. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take some time at the end of the service. We're going to sing one more song, but I want to give you the opportunity. I give you the opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I would like you in my life. And then we'll just pray a simple prayer. The entire church here, we will pray a prayer. But if you're feeling like, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life, can you just do me a favor and just show me your hand? Just let me see where you're at. God's moving amongst us right here. See Him over there. Today's your day. This is the day that we could receive the greatest gift that God has for mankind. Don't walk out of here leaving it here. Thank you, God. Well, we'll pray this simple prayer together. And for those of you that raised your hand, we have a table at the back, next step table. We have a gift for you. We have a packet, a little bit of information for you. So let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for coming into my life. I thank you, Jesus, for offering me the greatest gift that I could ever receive. As I put my trust in you today, I ask that you would walk with me and lead me through the rest of my life. Help me to find what the purpose and plans are that you have for me. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, so thank you. And then one more thing before we close with a song here. You know, Christmas can be a joyous time, but for some it cannot be. And if you're struggling for whatever reason because of this holiday and this season, offer your struggles up to God as we sing this next song. Let Him know where you're at. And if you would like some prayer, go back to the next step table. We have people that will pray with you there. And also tomorrow night, our Christmas Eve service. Join us for that one as well.